Our Bible reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. And if you have a church Bible, you can find it on page 728. Luke 5, 17 to 26. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal, that is, Jesus, to heal the sick. So men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a loving God. You make yourself known to us. We have your word. So help us now as we keep thinking about what you've just said to us, that we would keep listening to you. Amen. You probably know. If not, I'm not one really to read or write poetry, but I'm going to start with a poem today. "It's one of the hardest things to do, all the hurt they've caused to you. It's not what they deserve, the words they've said, what they've taken away, whatever it is they've done to you. You feel the pain every day. It's one of the hardest things to do. Forgiveness." We're coming to the end of our series in the Apostles' Creed, which is a declaration of what it is that we believe. And it's really a brilliant summary of the Apostles' teaching that believers have said for centuries and centuries, since the early centuries. And the line in the creed that we said before is, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins." That's what we're thinking about this morning. I heard an amazing story of forgiveness this week. About Renee. Renee's daughter, Megan, was tragically killed in a car accident with her friend as they were coming back from the beach. And just like that, her daughter is gone, 20 years old. The driver, a 24-year-old guy, was drunk, and he's sentenced to 22 years in prison. Now, Renee is deeply affected by this, of course. And what she starts to do, she starts to go around to school, she starts a campaign and to other functions and starts speaking and warning people of the dangers of drink driving. And she was doing this many, many times, but she came to realise that something just wasn't right. And she came to see that it was on the inside that wasn't right. And she worked out that she hadn't forgiven this man. And that's what she needed to do. So, remarkably, she goes to the prison, she visits him, and she forgives him. She says, like, to his eyes, "I forgive you." Which is amazing, isn't it? This man has really taken away her daughter. She then goes to court with this guy, Eric, and asks that his sentence be halved. And it is. The reason she does that, she wants him to have a second chance in life. It's granted. And then as she keeps visiting schools and other things, he's granted day release to go with her so that he can also speak with her. And then the whole family comes to forgive him, to the point where he's even considered like a son in their family. So as she keeps going around, she not only shares of the danger of drink driving, but maybe more powerfully, the story of forgiveness, the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. As Christians, we say we believe in the forgiveness of sins. That's what we declare. God's forgiveness of us. We believe he forgives our sins. And that leads to us forgiving other people. And we can forgive other people because of God's forgiveness of us. And there's really nothing better than having your sins forgiven by God. To hear God say to you, I forgive you. You know how sweet it is to hear those words from someone else. Or maybe you long to hear those words. But how much more God? You know when something has come between you and another person. How bad that is. Like a wedge has come and has come between the two of you. You're not talking. The relationship has broken. How much more God? Daniel, in his prayer, he confessed our sins. He acknowledged that we are sinful. We do things we ought not to do. We don't do things that we ought to. We ignore God. We live life our own way. We don't treat him as God. We're in desperate need of forgiveness. But to hear these words, friend, your sins are forgiven. There's nothing better than having your sins forgiven by God. Sin is what comes between us and God. Just like with another person. That means then we mightn't be on speaking terms with God, and we might just do our thing. It's like he's doing his thing. But that means we can't know him as we've been created to know him. Unless that sin is dealt with or removed. And that's what God does in his son Jesus. We've read, hopefully you've still got your Bibles open, in Luke 5. We read that story, a real story, of Jesus healing that paralytic man. We're going to watch the story that we've just read. This is a real story. This isn't just a parable that Jesus makes up to make a point. This happened. Right? And what we're about to watch is a reenactment of that story. Okay, so in this story, we see that only God can forgive sins, right? So if we've done something against God, it's He who needs to forgive us. If that is right, we've wronged God, then He is the one who needs to forgive us. If I wrong you, then it needs to be sorted between the two of us if something has happened. Right? Same with God. In this story, four men bring this paralytic man to Jesus. It's quite remarkable what Jesus says. He comes to be healed, doesn't he? He can't walk. He comes to be healed. What is it that Jesus says? The first thing Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And that's, the man came, what did the man want to hear? You are healed, get up and walk. He came with faith, believing that Jesus could heal him. But Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Now, that would be blasphemous. If Jesus is not God, God's Son, that would be blasphemous. And that is what the Pharisees, the people here, had a real problem with when Jesus said that. They're like, you can't say that. Only God can forgive sins. Yet Jesus, he claims to be able to forgive this man's sins, his sins against God. Right? He knows the people here in the crowd. They've got a problem with this. So he then says to the man, get up and walk. To show that he does have authority to forgive sins, he says to the man, get up and walk. And that's what the man does. That's the reason the man came, to be healed. He believed that Jesus could do that. What does Jesus do in this story here? In this event? Jesus shows us what our greatest need is. As desperately as this man wanted to be able to walk, Jesus saw in him the greater need was actually that his sins be forgiven, that things be put right between... The greatest need that things be put right between God and us, having our sins forgiven. Jesus declares, your sin is forgiven. And it would be on the cross. Jesus would go to the cross from here, and it's there on the cross where this is achieved, where his sins are forgiven. Who here, have you got a mortgage? I know lots of people do. Let's say you have a mortgage of $300,000. That is what you owe the bank. Right, just imagine you get a call from the bank and they've decided to pay that $300,000 for you. Your mortgage, your debt, it's no more. They've cancelled it. They have paid it for you. Now, okay, it's not going to happen. But God, it's like what God does here. In forgiving our sin, he cancels our debt. And that is even greater than whatever mortgage you might have. Our sin, that which stands between us and God, God takes that upon himself in his Son, in the death of his Son. He takes it upon himself. He pays it for us. The debt is death. It's judgment, facing God's judgment for what we've done. But God, in his love, sends his Son to take that death, that punishment, that judgment for us, so that we are free. It's cancelled, and we can know God. We can be right with God. Romans 6, 32 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing better than having your sins forgiven by God. It's what Jesus came to do. It is the reason why Jesus came into this world. And that forgiveness continues today. That offer of forgiveness, it's still there today. Now, Daniel and Catherine, they have it. Their sins have been forgiven. It's what they want for all their family. Nothing they want more than for Annabelle and Elijah to grow up knowing God, knowing that through Jesus they are right with God. It's him who provides forgiveness of sins and relationship, life with God. That's what they want for Elijah, for Annabelle, for all their family. Can I show you quickly that this isn't a one-off story. Jesus came to forgive our sins. All of Jesus' life was about this. In Matthew 1:21. So Jesus' name, we come to Jesus' birth. What is Mary and Joseph told? You are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Or on Mark 1, which we looked at earlier in the baptism, we've got John the Baptist. John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John came preparing people for Jesus so that their sins could be forgiven. In Luke 5, in the story that we've looked at, Jesus claims, he says, your sins are forgiven. And we come to Matthew 26. Jesus is there with his disciples, the Last Supper. He has they're sharing a meal, they've got the bread. He takes the cup and he says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And then he goes to the cross. He's raised up to new life again. And once risen, he says about the Christ. So this, firstly on the cross. So he says on the cross, this is where he's been crucified on the cross. What is it that he says? He says to God his Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And then, when he's raised to life again, he says this, talking about the Christ himself, he says he will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins we preach in his name to all nations. So Jesus is saying that after he's risen from the dead, this message of forgiveness of sins is going to be preached to all the nations. And that continues to be the case today. Do you see Jesus? He came to forgive sins. He forgives our sins. He can forgive your sins. He is the one who opens up the way for us to know God. And that invitation is open for us today. God, he's the one. He takes the initiative to put things right between us and him. He offers us forgiveness. Have you taken it? Have you accepted it? Will you? Will you accept it? In Acts, 50 days after the resurrection, there are a lot of people there come to see who Jesus is. That he is indeed God's Son, that he is the Lord and the Christ. When they come to see who it is that they've crucified, that he is actually God's Son, they're cut to the heart and they say, what shall we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Are you one of them? Are you one of those people? I hope so. There's nothing better than having your sins forgiven by God. That means we can enjoy our life with him, that we don't have to earn it. We don't have to worry about whether we're good enough. It means we can forgive others. Just like that lady Renee. She came to see the power of forgiveness, and then so did Eric. By Renee forgiving him, he came to see the love of God. Like, don't you think he would have just been blown away, thinking, who is this lady? Why is she doing this? Why would this woman do this? And he came to see, he came to learn that it is because of God's forgiveness of her that she was then able to forgive him. So as she received her forgiveness, through that, he came to see God's forgiveness. So he didn't just get his sentence halved. He won salvation, eternal life. Now he might have had a 22-year sentence here on earth that was halved. But before God, if his sins aren't forgiven before God, then that is a life sentence, a death sentence. And that was totally taken away when he came to see Jesus for who he was. When he came before God, no judgment at all, because Jesus died in his place and forgave his sins. Now, us forgiving others. I don't know, it's hard to be able to forgive others. God's forgiveness of us wasn't easy either. It cost him his son. His one and only son. It will cost us as well. Last verse, Colossians 3, says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." As Christians, we say we believe in the forgiveness of sins. Truly a marvelous thing to know that. There is nothing better than having your sins forgiven by God. To know that you are right with God. That is so freeing. You're free to live life, to enjoy life with God. Knowing that it's not up to you and how good you are, that Jesus has done it all, and he's freed us to live, to love and serve God and other people. The power of forgiveness means that we can, as hard as it is, we can now go and forgive other people who have wronged us because of God's amazing forgiveness of us. I want you to just take a moment to reflect on this and maybe close your eyes as we pray. And maybe there is someone that you need to forgive. And you know that it's been too long, that things aren't right. And they mightn't deserve it. But maybe it's what you need to do. And maybe you need to make the first move. Well, if that's you, why don't you pray about that? And maybe this week, make that first move. Maybe you want to accept God's offer of forgiveness. That'd be fantastic. Just tell him that you are sorry for ignoring him or not treating him as he is, as God, who is worthy. Thank him for Jesus, for sending Jesus to forgive your sins, taking the penalty for your sin. And commit to trying to live for him. There is nothing better than having your sins forgiven by God. Maybe you're not ready, but you do want to think a little bit more about this. There is nothing more important, so do that. Ask questions. Take the time you need, but do think about who Jesus is and why he died. And what it means for you today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Amazing that you would send your Son to forgive us. That he would go to the cross and die and take our debt, our punishment upon himself. That we can be forgiven, that we can know you and have life with you. And we're free to enjoy that life with you now and for all eternity. And it's all because of Jesus. We thank you for the power of forgiveness, and help us to be a people who are open to forgiving others. Amen.